Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Will the real Bill de Blasio please stand up?
The Democratic mayoral candidates debated here on WNYC last night, and it was basically everyone on de Blasio, the recent front runner in the race. They also disagreed on taxes and how to change stop and frisk. Listeners, if you're a New York City Democrat still candidate shopping, who looked good to you last night? Who did you agree with? Who did you think can run the city after Michael Bloomberg? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And with me to take your calls and listen back to some highlights is New York Times Metro reporter David Chen, who was one of the questioners last night, along with me and three journalists from New York One. Hi, David.
Hi, Brian. Good to be back.
And again, listeners, who won the debate for you last night, especially if you went in undecided or only leaning? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let me start with the full version of an exchange getting a lot of attention. This is from the round in the debate when each candidate got to ask one question of any other candidate. And Bill Thompson asked Bill de Blasio about his TV commercial that just debuted the other day that claims de Blasio is the only person in the race who will end the stop and frisk era. And as you will hear, this clip has kind of a surprise ending when Christine Quinn goes next and asks her question. But the first voice is Bill Thompson.
The ad that you just put up a few days ago talks about you're the only one in New York City of all the candidates who will end the stop and frisk era, who will end minorities being profiled. That just isn't true, Bill. That just isn't true. Many of the people on this stage, many of the candidates, have come out instead that they also would eliminate stop and frisk, or that they would make sure that people aren't profiled. Bill, the New York Times has reported that that ad is inaccurate. Why don't you take the ad down, Bill? Why don't you take the ad down? Bill, and to be honest about it, I think it is important on this one, stop lying to the people of New York City.
Let's let him answer.
To end the crisis of stop and frisk, to end this era where people of color have been unfairly targeted and obviously where unconstitutional practices were taking place, we have to do three things. We need a new police commissioner devoted to making the changes we need to bring police and community back together. We need an independent, I emphasize the word independent, inspector general, and we need a local ban, a law ending racial profiling in New York City, banning racial profiling in New York City. We need all three of those things. Mr. Thompson disagrees with the legislation that would give us an independent inspector general and that would legally ban racial profiling locally. Ms. Quinn disagrees, as we heard a moment ago, with the ban on racial profiling and wants to keep Ray Kelly as police commissioner. My point is I am the only candidate who will do the three things that will actually end the stop and frisk era. That is a fact, and I stand by it.
Ms. Quinn.
Well, my question is to Comptroller Thompson, and it's a little bit of actually a follow-up on the conversation we've been having so far. As you said, the New York Times and others have characterized the public advocate's ad where he says he is the only one who wants to make changes and end wrongful stop and frisk as misleading and inaccurate. I want to know if you're satisfied with the answer you just got.
So 2 minutes and 12 seconds unedited from last night's mayoral debate. Your reactions at 212-433-WNYC. And with us, as I said, David Chen, New York Times correspondent. David, one of my fellow questioners at the debate. And David, as that exchange showed, they didn't need us. They knew what they wanted to say to each other and to the public. And I thought that cross-examination round really became the heart of the debate. What did you think?
I agree. I mean, we were almost bystanders for most of the 90-minute debate. And I thought that Speaker Quinn's move there was the basketball equivalent of a no-look pass to Bill Thompson. He was kind of surprised by it, but it really captured the sense that everyone was focused on de Blasio, who has surged to the front. And I think the stop and frisk debate is a very valid one, and one that has really annoyed, shall we say, the rest of the Democratic field. They feel like de Blasio is just, you know, that one word sort of claiming that he's the only one is really borderline malpractice, I guess.
So they didn't only go after him because he's now in the lead, but also because they really have a grievance. And so let's fact check that dispute. Almost all the candidates are running against stop and frisk to some degree. De Blasio's claim that he's the only one who would end stop and frisk, or the stop and frisk era. That's the wording, right?
That's correct.
Only one who would end the stop and frisk era. And he says it's justified because only he would do three things: fire Ray Kelly and support both policing bills now before the city council, one to create an inspector general for the NYPD and one to make it easier to sue for instances of racial profiling. That was his argument in the clip that we just played, that he's the only one to do all three of those things. Quinn and Thompson each support one of the two bills but oppose the other. But to my ear, and I guess you just indicated that you agree with this, the de Blasio claim is overstated. He's not the only candidate promising to end the stop and frisk era as we know it.
That's correct. I mean, I think what he's trying to argue is a technicality in that he, of the leading candidates anyway, is the only one to oppose those two bills. But the takeaway, of course, is that the people who catch a glimpse of his ads will come away with the impression that he is the only one in the field to basically say that he's going to end the era. And that's something that, say, John Liu, Anthony Weiner, any of them would take great issue with.
Right. They'll end the era, maybe not in the exact same way that he would.
Right. There are different pathways, if you will, to ending the era.
And so where do you think the main policy difference comes from? In other words, Quinn opposes the bill to make it easier to sue. Thompson opposes the bill to create an inspector general. If they're both vying for voters who want to scale back stop and frisk, why withhold their support of one of those bills or the other in each case?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily view it through the lens of policy, but maybe more of politics. I mean, Bill Thompson has gotten the endorsement of most of the law enforcement unions who've been opposed to the bills. And Speaker Quinn is trying to walk that fine line in allowing the vote to come to or allowing the bills to come to a vote, which will now be overridden, but supporting one and not the other. So she's trying to sort of maintain that tender balance of supporting the idea but not going against Mayor Bloomberg that much. So I view it a little bit more in those terms.
All right. Let's hear what some of our listeners think. 212-433-WNYC and Ralph in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I think de Blasio won. He was more to the point. He focused on the issues. And I think he's consistent with his record based on – I follow him over the years. And he's a very progressive guy. He was the only one who stood up to the mayor when things were going in the wrong direction. So I think last night shows that he can take the city in a new direction. So I think he won.
Are you at all concerned about the exaggeration that we've just been discussing from that ad and the way that it's misleading?
They just cherry picking. I think, you know, that's somewhat I don't think he's really misleading because his record's been consistent. He came out strongly, and the voters should decide that. This guy, he's been a champion of the little guy, and last night he shows that. He looked more mayoral, and he just, you know, consistent with his issues over the years.
Ralph, thanks a lot. Keep calling us. Lisa on the Lower East Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Well, I would have gone for Weiner if the new evidence hadn't come out about his latest escapade, so that crossed him out.
Mm-hmm.
I was leaning toward de Blasio. I won't vote for Quinn because of the Bloomberg-Kelly connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have to say, in all honesty, if they had had a chance, Weiner and Liu did very well. I hate to throw away my vote, but I'm guessing I'll vote for Liu, at least in the primary.
Lisa, thank you very much. So Liu does very well in these debates. You know, I moderated three forums along the way that weren't as high profile as this one. He always comes across extremely well. He is among the most focused, I think, David, in terms of stating very simply and clearly what his position is on an issue, where a lot of the other candidates hedge more. Not that he isn't very political in the way he puts things, and I think he leaves himself out on some of his most liberal positions that aren't clear to the listener. But nevertheless, he states his position clearly, succinctly, with passion. He's got a sense of humor, and he's, you know, fifth in the polls. But he's – or fourth or fifth in the polls and rough single digits or around 10%. But he presents very well.
There's no question about that. He had one of the better lines last night when he casually called Bill Thompson one of the 1%. And he is definitely very focused, as you say, and generally gets quite a big audience reception. I was struck by a couple of things, if I may pivot a little bit, by what Ralph, the first caller, had said. He had talked about Bill de Blasio being consistent. And that's one thing that the Daily News, which endorsed Chris Quinn this morning, mentioned about de Blasio, that he was the most consistent in ideological terms, I guess. The other thing that was very interesting was that Ralph talked about how de Blasio was the only one who stood up to Mayor Bloomberg, you know, in terms of the city going in the wrong direction. He's almost borrowing or mimicking the language that de Blasio has in the ads. And it just gives you a sense that perhaps that is resonating to some degree when you sort of carve out a stance as being the only one, even if it's not true.
But what about that charge? And we played the clip of Thompson saying, "Will the real Bill de Blasio please stand up?" Has he sharpened his positions and brought them more to the left to sound more like John Liu for this mayoral campaign, when in the past maybe he's opposed things like a tax hike?
It's a very valid discussion to be had. It's something that the Quinn campaign is now really focusing on. They've got this new website, The Tale of Two de Blasios. They had people with posters outside the town hall last night, you know, with these air bubbles with Bill, you know, de Blasio quotes representing different positions. It's something that, you know, the flip-flopping charges is something that people take seriously, and they kind of like to have consistency. So it's not something to be ignored.
And we'll get to that proposal for a tax hike on the wealthy and the money to be used for pre-K as we go along here. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More of your calls, more clips from the debate last night, more of David Chen from The New York Times, who is one of the questioners. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we play some highlights from last night's Democratic mayoral primary debate. David Chen from The New York Times, one of my fellow questioners in the debate, is with us. Our lines are full, so don't call in right now until people finish up. We'll keep taking lots of your calls. And I want to point out to our audience, David, that your question at the debate last night came from one of the callers to yesterday's show.
Absolutely.
When we were inviting listeners to submit questions, the caller was Kat in Astoria.
My big issue with the Democratic candidates is I don't trust any of them to lead New York in a crisis. In a snowstorm, a transit strike, a blackout, a terrorist attack, I don't think any of them have the strength, the power to harness help from Washington and Albany.
Kat in Astoria from yesterday's show. She also wrote directly to you the same thing. And you think this reflects something about why no Democrat has been elected mayor in 24 years, that kind of perception?
That's a very good question. I think there's a sense that the mayor and Mayor Giuliani as well kind of have a decent handle on knowing how to respond to crises. But as you'll see in the clips coming up, obviously that is not a universally held opinion.
Right. So one of the answers that you told me this morning you thought was noteworthy for being strong was the one from Christine Quinn. So here's 30 seconds of that on disaster response.
We know just about every kind of disaster we could face in the city. So as mayor, one of the things I'm going to make sure is we have clear plans in place from a citywide perspective of how to deal with them, but also plans broken down not just by borough, not just by neighborhood, but really sectors within neighborhoods of folks who will be on the ground if something like this happens. We need to make sure every agency has its own plan and that we run kind of tabletops on those plans over and over so people are ready.
So, David, why did you like that response?
She was probably the most specific of the candidates in discussing what she would do. Now, she has the benefit, to be sure, of having been the speaker and having been at OEM headquarters and involved in a lot of emergency preparedness drills and planning, I guess. So she has kind of an advantage. But, you know, just because you're there doesn't mean that you're fluent in it. And she certainly seemed to be quite fluent in the subject.
Which is one of the rationales for her campaign, that she was there, that she's had this leadership position, that she puts together coalitions on issues. In fact, I think this connects to the other big campaign news this morning, which is that the Daily News has now endorsed Christine Quinn. It's the first newspaper endorsement in the Democratic primary, and they specifically praise her as pragmatic and realistic and prepared, Bloombergian traits, as opposed to the ideological purity or interest group friendliness that a Democratic primary is often about and that the news editorial page doesn't like.
It's true. But at the same time, I mean, there are certainly a number of people who feel that the mayor's emergency preparedness persona is a little exaggerated or has a little bit of a rosy sheen to it, shall we say. They point to the blizzard. They point to other examples where they haven't totally been on top of things.
As we heard in this response to your question from Anthony Weiner.
There are a lot of people in the city would dispute the idea that that's the only time the mayor got it wrong. When people in Rockaway were literally digging out of their own homes and they were reading stories about how the marathon was going to continue, and some people on this stage supported that idea, it had a sense of discordant sense that I think really struck people to their core. So one thing I would do is create an environment in the city that's different, that it's not the city talking down to people in all five boroughs, that we have a sense of what goes on.
So that context was the snowstorm, the blizzard had been referenced as a time that Bloomberg got it wrong. And he said, well, that wasn't the only time.
Right.
Then talked about post-Sandy
Rockaways. The other really good thing about Congressman Weiner's response was that he was able to get a couple of digs in at his opponents. And he was referring, for example, to Bill de Blasio and John Liu, who had originally supported the marathon, then sort of backtracked. Maybe that's an example of a flip-flop, shall we say. And it was something that still is very raw for a lot of people in the Rockaways and other places that are still recovering from the hurricane.
And guess what? Kat in Astoria, who planted that question in your brain, is calling back today. Hi, Kat.
Hi. Good morning, Brian. David, thank you so much for using my question yesterday. It's the closest I'll ever get to speaking with any of the candidates.
Oh, you could find them at almost any subway station over the next 3 weeks.
Or any senior center. Go to any senior center, you'll find them.
Or call the show tomorrow when Joe Loda is on.
Oh, I've got plenty of questions for him.
But so what did you think about the answers?
I was really looking for an answer that emphasized collaboration. I was looking, I feel like all those Democratic candidates, really except for Quinn, didn't want to have anything to do with the police, really downplayed the police. I want to know that the mayor and the commissioner are going to get along. They don't have to be best friends. I'm sure they're going to butt heads. But I wanted to hear that the next time someone tries to set off a bomb in Times Square, that there's going to be a quick response. I wanted to know that city agencies not only would have a plan, but that the mayor knew what it was. And the other thing, when David asked the question, all of them, I'd say many of them, responded in a way that they said they would never be away from New York for long. Mm-hmm. Like they wouldn't go to a house in Bermuda or be at their place in Long Island.
Little dig at Bloomberg, right.
As mayor of New York, I want my mayor to go places and promote the city. I want them to go to Chicago, to London, to San Francisco, to Rio, and talk about New York. So when they're away, that's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. How the other agencies right. are going to deal. I don't care where they go on vacation. I just want the city to be safe.
So you wound up maybe a little toward Quinn as a result of that?
I would say her answer was the best. debate, and throughout the whole debate, I was really turned off against de Blasio as a whole. He'll never get my vote now.
Because he what?
Because he doesn't know how to pay for things, Brian. You mentioned before that this idea of the kindergarten. It's an excellent idea, but framing it in a way that makes the wealthiest New Yorkers pay for a service that the children will never use is divisive. And the wealthiest New Yorkers, if they're taxed more and more, they're free to leave. And middle class and poor New Yorkers don't have that freedom to lead. So we're the ones who are going to be left holding the bag.
Kat, thanks for contributing and setting up part of the debate last night.
Oh, of course. Thanks again for taking all my questions.
You
Take
bet.
Care.
Keep calling us. So she said pre-K is something that a lot of the eligible people would never even use. I'm sure de Blasio and many of the candidates would dispute that. But let me then go to another clip. I asked the candidates about their tax plans, another of the very few areas of disagreement in this liberal Democratic field. De Blasio, Lou, and Wiener would all add a small amount to the income tax rate for New Yorkers making more than $500,000 a year. De Blasio would use the extra revenue for universal pre-K. Wiener and Lou would both use it to cut taxes for lower income earners. I asked Christine Quinn why she wouldn't raise taxes on the very rich to fight inequality.
I've supported
Bill Thompson.
When the president
Same
proposed
question.
It and supported that. When the governor pushed that, I supported it. Tax increases aren't off the table, but they're a last resort, not a first option.
My error. I meant to say Bill Thompson. I asked both of them that question, but we pulled the Thompson clip, so they each get some meaningful time here on the show today. David, it's an interesting disagreement on
Absolutely.
On a very major issue between these candidates.
It's very interesting because Bill Thompson, when he was addressing ABNY, the business group, very early in the campaign, made it quite clear that he would not raise taxes. I mean, technically, it was in response to a question about how to pay for extra cops. But he was very unequivocal in saying that he just thought that he would not raise taxes on under any circumstances, if memory serves. And he, you know, there were a lot of questions from reporters after the debate as to whether he had, you know, he was trying to wiggle out of that or he had sort of hedged his position a little bit. And it's something that, you know, he had to answer for quite a number of minutes last night.
And on tomorrow's show, we're going to follow up on this idea that came up briefly, and I really didn't have time in my round to pursue it to a conclusion. But Thompson had brought up that the state already gives us money for universal pre-K, so much so that the city returns some of that money. And de Blasio has a different interpretation of how available that money actually is. And we are going to run that to ground, you might say, on tomorrow's show. So tune back in tomorrow for that. But let's take another call from a listener who I think wanted to react to de Blasio on this point, Rob in Rego Park. Hi, Rob.
Ryan, how you doing, guy? I like to make a point that, you know, I'm leaning toward de Blasio, but Mr. de Blasio keeps repeating the 0.5% to raise $2,200 for people who make $500,000 or more. I'd like to make it clear that he has no intentions of really going after the wealthy, and there's other things in the city that needs to be done besides pre-K, which I'm all for. So I think someone should really press de Blasio to say he wants to be mayor, but he's really not going to go after the wealthy. But he's the only candidate that at least is sincere about doing a little extra taxing, but it's really laughable.
What would be going after the wealthy, in your opinion?
I'll tell you exactly, Brian. I went to a private school which cost $50,000 a year when I was a kid. The idea that people who could afford $50,000 for kindergarten needs to, of course, contribute more than $2,200. They're not leaving the city, that they have 50% of the wealth in the city in New York, and there's plenty of people who need jobs, and you need to take all the money and share the wealth in a sincere way so that the entire New York City will benefit.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And there's another argument we could make about this tax, the wealthy plan on the income tax, which is that it's very safe to say because it will never actually come to pass because Albany, the legislature,
right,
has to approve it, which is a very low chance of
right.
that
I
happening.
Right. I mean, really, the mayor has only a couple of options when it comes to raising taxes, the chief one being the property tax, which Mayor Bloomberg did in ginormous fashion early in his first term.
And they could do it again if they wanted to on, let's say, the very highest value properties as a surrogate for the wealthiest owners.
Right.
And the city could actually do that. De Blasio doesn't say, and Lou doesn't say, and Wiener doesn't say, since they would all do the same thing, that they're going to have to go to the state legislature and get permission for the income tax.
Right. You know, why bother talking about the gentleman from Onondaga County right now who's not exactly in their camp, you know?
One other notable fact from last night, they all ignored Wiener, indicating that they think he is now irrelevant to who makes the runoff. The Wiener saga did, however, provide some comic relief during the lightning round of yes or no questions when the moderator, Errol Lewis, was asking them all if they had ever texted while driving.
Mr. Wiener.
Yes.
Mr. Albanese.
Tough fact to follow.
Now, David, you and I were both in the meeting the other day at New York One when this question was chosen for the lightning round, and my recollection is that everybody was only thinking about the actual issue of texting while driving, and
yeah.
So many of them admitted to texting while driving and were embarrassed about it that I thought that whole little round there was interesting in its own right.
That's absolutely right.
But we were not thinking about Anthony Weiner's escapades.
No, it wasn't sexting while driving, right? It was sort of texting while driving, and we really want it because this is something that is a real problem. There was just a bus driver in New Jersey who allegedly was doing that and wasn't paying attention and then hit a pole and a girl was killed. So this is a very serious issue.
But the audience obviously thought it was about something else. We have a couple of minutes left. I would say that in general, I came away pretty critical of the field last night. I thought they were talking to each other much more than to the voters, with all of their inside sniping at each other. And with so many voters just probably paying attention for the first time last night, not a lot of our listeners maybe who are politically engaged, you know, relative to most of the city, but to so many New Yorkers who really may have been watching these candidates closely for the first time last night, I thought they were negative. I thought they were playing inside baseball. I'm not sure there was a lot of inspirational leadership or that that's what they were out to display.
I thought that it was certainly a more riveting debate than the first one. It seemed like everyone had pretty much improved, I think, especially Speaker Quinn and Bill Thompson in terms of being a little more focused. I thought, however, that the sheer size of the field was a little unwieldy at times. I mean, it's hard to kind of, have a good flow when you have seven candidates. I guess the best thing about this is that there's still one more debate left, and hopefully by then they will have improved and people will be paying more attention and, New Yorkers will get to make sort of a really informed choice.
That one's going to be on CBS next week, and I gather that CBS will, or I should say Time Warner, will take CBS's debate, even if that blackout of CBS is continuing in their business dispute, just as they are putting CBS on tonight, I understand, for the controller debate.
Right.
That's scheduled for tonight. We'll also have that here on WNYC tonight at 7 o'clock, Stringer versus Spitzer. But for those of you with Time Warner Cable, the blackout will be suspended for civic purposes so that they can have that controller debate on their air tonight. David Chen, New York Times Metro correspondent, one of the questioners in last night's mayoral debate. Thank you so much for breaking it down with us.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have the news coming up now at 10:30. Then should there really be laws about what kinds of dogs people can own? President Obama doesn't think so, and he has just made it known. Also, civil rights historian Taylor Branch on the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, and we'll take your calls if you were there 50 years ago next week. How your clothes sometimes clash with the U.S. Constitution, and a call in on this summer's best public art projects. What should other listeners go and check out anywhere around town? All coming up after the latest news.